Kawhi is GOAT. Any question?
This is 416 Basketball, and this is a podcast. So, I don't have any questions on Kawhi Leonard. I definitely have a lot of questions about this Toronto Raptors team, though. Kawhi needs help. I think that's very clear. I think this Game 7 was probably Kawhi's worst game of the series, which I don't know how that's possible, considering he had 41 points, including the miraculous game winner. But offensively, he took 39 shots, only ended up shooting 41%. But he had to do it, obviously, because he needs help. And I think everybody knows this. This isn't a secret at this point. We're at the point where I never thought we'd be. I think I'm less confident in this Raptors team now than I was heading into the playoffs. I didn't think our offense could get this bad and this predictable. I don't know how we're here. I think where the Raptors offense now is worse, way worse than it was prior to the Gasol trade, which is interesting because everyone was loving the Gasol trade after the All-Star break. They want to talk themselves into how much it helped the offense. And I don't think that's been the case at all in the playoffs. He's probably even hurt our offense. Yes, he's been great defensively. Not arguing with that. That's clearly been a huge plus. But if we look back to Game 7, how many assists did Marc Gasol have? I have not heard anyone talk about this. If the Raptors would have lost, we would have heard this number. And this number was zero. Zero assists for Marc Gasol. He was just 3 of 8 from the field for 7 points. Everyone wants to say, oh yeah, he's not going to score. He's helping create for others. That hasn't been the case. You know, he generally doesn't have zero assists like this, but he's really not opening up the offense like people claimed he would or thought he was when we were playing teams at the end of the season that were either, you know, giving up and tanking or were just bad teams. But, you know, I remember in the regular season near the end where we played, I believe, OKC twice. I think we barely won the first time and lost the second time. And my red flags went up with that because I thought we were just significantly better than OKC at the time. And it didn't look like we were, like, because they were a decent team. A decent team that lost in the first round of the playoffs. And the Raptors, you know, we didn't have to play anyone good in the first round. We played the Orlando Magic. Everyone wants to talk about it. How they were so good, you know, post-All-Star. Like, the Raptors were good post-All-Star. But, again, like, you look at the teams tanking around the league at that point and just giving up on their season, you gotta take it with a grain of salt when you just want to cherry-pick games like that. But I think offensively, the Raptors aren't going to be as bad as they were against Philly. Now, I don't have confidence that we're going to be good. I think seeing Serge Ibaka drop 17 off the bench in this last game and shoot very well, and think did he make his first 3 threes or go 3 of 4 from three, ended up 3 of 5, but he was hot. He was rolling. He's grabbing rebounds. He had 8 rebounds in the game. He had 3 assists. Yeah, Serge Ibaka had 3 assists playing 29 minutes. Marc Gasol had 0 in 45 minutes. Serge Ibaka's not even a good passer. Interesting. And then Fred VanVleet probably had his first, or maybe, I think he was good in one game or all right in one game of the series, but Fred VanVleet was aggressive in this game when he was in with Lowry coming out early. Didn't hit a field goal. Didn't matter, though. He was attacking the basket. Drew fouls twice, hit those free throws. And I thought he was good defensively. He had one really momentum steal that I think ended in a basket. I think he had another steal in this game. But what I was seeing from Fred VanVleet for the majority of the series, besides not being able to shoot, because I think everyone was cluing in on that, because, you know, the numbers, you just go by the numbers, and clearly shows you that he couldn't shoot in this series, but he was scrambling to really chase his man on defense, I noticed in this series. I think a number of times on J.J. Redick, just scrambling to get back, because somehow at Redick's age, he's still, like, crazy fast, and you see Fred VanVleet just chase him back to another spot on the perimeter, and it's tough. And anyways, that's defense, where the Raptors as a whole have been good, and we'll get more into that. But I think, speaking towards the offense, I think it's going to be really tough for the Raptors to have the same kind of success they had during the regular season. Pascal Siakam, I think that he's been figured out a little bit. Philly started figuring it out in this later in this series, and make him shoot. Like, because we know he can finish around the basket, but if he's not able to get to the basket, he's not a great jump shooter. Siakam can hit shots from the corners, but like that mid range above the break three, that's not Siakam's shot, and he should not be shooting those, really. So it's like, who else is going to give us buckets? Who else is going to hit jump shots? Danny Green has been a bit disappointing in the playoffs. He has mentioned he's dealing with a minor injury, but he's not concerned. He doesn't seem to believe that it's affecting his game, if at all. But I feel like with Danny, that it's the flow of our offense just hasn't enabled him to play well, because I think when the ball, I want to say, is moving well, but we've been passing the ball a lot in these playoffs and it hasn't been effective. But I feel like we haven't been being smart about the passes, that we haven't been playing with tempo and like drive and kick and then swing it around. And I think that high tempo where Danny Green can break free to the corner, I think that's where he succeeds. And I just think that hasn't really happened in these playoffs, that it's turning into these grinded out games where we're moving the ball, but the pace is just not quick enough to get him open. So then it's, I guess, other guys open, and like, is Marcus Gasol going to shoot? Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And he's been a little off with his shot in this series. Kyle Lowry is, I feel like, up and down, where he can turn on that switch and just be great for like three offensive possessions in a row, and then you don't really see much out of him for like the next quarter. And I think we're going to need more out of him, and there's nothing to say anything negative about him, because I think he's been good for the Raptors in these playoffs, despite a lot of games where he doesn't score a lot. With his defense, with his playmaking, it's the little things, drawing charges. But we need another scoring source, and I don't know where you can go for another reliable source. Kawhi Leonard, ironclad, reliable. He is going to get you at least 20 points at the very lowest. And then, like average-wise, probably can get you, in this series, put up like 30 points per game. So on some nights, he'll break 40. Other nights, maybe slightly below 30, slightly above 30. But aside from him, you know, how much can Pascal Siakam get to the rim? I think that's going to be important. I think we'll see. Siakam will be a scoring source. But then it's like, who is that third source? And I think it has to be Lowry at this point. I don't know who else it's going to be. I just don't know. Like, Serge Ibaka, he's not going to put up 17 points per game. He's not going to put up 15 points per game. He's not going to put up 13 points per game. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to, I'm sorry. Serge Ibaka, he's wildly inconsistent. I feel like some games he's just not in it at all. Other games, he's laser focused and rolling. And I don't really know. I think it was interesting to see how Norman Powell has been cut out of the rotation. I think he's going to find his way back in. I think the Bucks are super deep. And I think that's going to force Norm Powell back into the rotation. I think Norm Powell should be in the rotation to begin with, especially if OG Anunoby isn't quite ready to come back. And Norm Powell has had success against the Bucks in the playoffs. He's had success a bunch of times in the playoffs, and I think the last time we played the Bucks in the playoffs, Norm Powell shot like 90% from three. I don't think Norm Powell is going to give us double-digit points every game, but you know he could get like 10 points here and there. I think he shot 40% from three in the regular season, and I believe in this Philly series he was like our best above the break shooter. He hit 4 of 7. That's the most difficult shot in basketball. I guess it's defensive discussion time. So the Raptors have had tremendous success in these playoffs. This is where I've been pleasantly surprised with just what we were able to do defensively against the Magic and the Sixers. I don't think there's any way we'll have the same success defensively against the Bucks, just because the Bucks just are a far better offensive team than either of those teams. Like, I think we forget that Philly wasn't really a good 3-point shooting team. Neither were the Magic. Both teams have some shooters, but they also have a lot of guys that can't shoot. In the Philly series, Tobias Harris got so many open look threes, and for the most part, he was missing them. He just was laying bricks. Tobias Harris had success against the Raptors in the mid-range, but I think the Raptors were content with that. I think JJ Redick had success from three, but like, who else did Philly have like that could shoot threes? It's not going to be Ben Simmons. He ain't going to put those up. I think Embiid hit some. I think we wanted Embiid shooting those above-the-break threes because, you know, on the season, Embiid, not really a good three-point shooter. Not really at all. But you look at the Bucks, they got a lot of guys that can shoot, and I think you just can't shut down everybody. I just think that's not realistic, and the main guy we want to stop is not really a shooter. Giannis, not really a shooter. I think it was interesting during the regular season that Kawhi wasn't guarding Giannis. Now, Kawhi didn't play in all of the games against the Bucks, but we had Pascal Siakam on Giannis, and I don't think that makes sense at all, especially in a playoff series. I think Siakam has the mobility, the foot speed. He should be guarding someone that can hit threes, and someone like Brook Lopez would make sense. Because you still need someone with a little bit of size that can handle Brook Lopez. I think Siakam is that guy. I think he can get out on the perimeter and contest, and I think that is where that matchup is headed. I think with Giannis, I think Kawhi is the guy there. I think people say Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol can probably have success against Giannis inside. And when I say inside, I mean like paint restricted area. But Giannis is so quick, got long legs that he can just take these leaps and just, I don't think Marc Gasol can follow him around at all. So I just think that you make that switch when Giannis is attacking inside. But I think for the most part, when Giannis is hanging around like in the mid-range, I think that is Kawhi territory, and I think Kawhi can definitely chase him around. I think Kawhi is one of the best wing defenders in the league. Is Giannis a wing? He's 6'11". No, he's probably bigger than a wing. He often plays power forward or center for the Bucks, but Kawhi has the physicality to just keep up with him. Kawhi has those massive hands. That's got to be a plus. I believe that Kawhi, I'm not going to say can shut down Giannis, but I think he can give him some troubles where Giannis isn't putting up those MVP caliber numbers he was during the regular season. And I think Kawhi can guard him better than Boston did. And Boston they were one of the best defensive teams, I thought, in the league this season, but couldn't really handle Giannis very well in that series. Some of the other matchups won't be specifically one guy guarding certain players, like Eric Bledsoe. I don't know who's going to guard him. Like, maybe it'll be Danny Green at times, maybe Kyle Lowry at other times. I think Kyle Lowry probably is better. I feel like he would, I don't know. I want to say guarding Middleton, but that just doesn't feel right, because Middleton's probably going to shoot a lot from deep. But I feel like in that mid-range, like if Middleton's kind of attacking a little bit, I think just Lowry could just put his thickness in Middleton's face. And I think Eric Bledsoe kind of doesn't like attack vertically. He's like more of a horizontal player where he'll like zigzag and go back and forth. And I think that's not Lowry's thing. Lowry's thing is just being a wall in the middle of the court and just not allowing someone to get through him. But I don't think he's someone that can chase someone around the court. If Brogdon's getting serious minutes in this series, maybe Lowry can guard him. I don't know there. I feel like with Mirotic, I think that's where we can maybe like hide someone defensively. I feel like with Mirotic, he's not going to attack really. And with him, he probably doesn't have a lot of chemistry with this Bucks team either. He like missed, I want to say like 2 weeks after getting traded to the Bucks because he was injured. And then I think he got injured again. So he hasn't played a lot of minutes and probably doesn't feel too comfortable with this Bucks team yet. So I don't know who we'd put on him. Could Danny Green handle him? Probably. I feel like, though, Danny Green probably not going to guard one guy. I feel like Danny's really good at being like a help defender, just coming out being that second guy to get on somebody and try and force a loose ball or something. But I don't think he's like a one-on-one type defender. I think Pascal Siakam's similar, but with Siakam, I feel like you just need him to get out onto the perimeter. And Siakam could guard Mirotic too, but if Brook Lopez is on the floor, I think that just unless Lopez is playing inside, then you just put our center, whether it's Gasol or Ibaka, on him. But I wouldn't have said this like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, that I'm more afraid of Lopez than Mirotic, but I just am at this point. I actually really wanted the Raptors to trade for Mirotic at the deadline, and that apparently was the Raptors' plan A that fell through because the Bucks swooped in. But I don't know. I just feel like their chemistry is not there. The Bucks, they have a lot of other, you know, kind of blue-collar guys like George Hill, Ersan Ilyasova, Sterling Brown, Tony Snell, DJ Wilson, Dante DiVincenzo. Those guys, they can get hot for like a short stretch, but over the course of a series, I don't think there are guys you really can focus on. I think you just have to be more worried about the Bucks core and the guys that have gotten them here. But yeah, George Hill's been playing well lately. I mean, he can give the Bucks some help. I think you gotta pick and choose, and the number one thing has to be slowing down Giannis, and I think, as I mentioned, I think Kawhi is best suited for that job, and unless Giannis is just right by the basket, where I think you just get Marc Gasol in his face, kind of what you gotta do. Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton, I think Middleton was an all-star this year. I didn't think he deserved to be there. Middleton, I feel like, is a good... Bledsoe and Middleton, I think, are both good, like, third options on a team. But on this Bucks team, they alternate between being second options. And I don't feel that they're going to determine this series. I think what's going to determine this series is whether the Raptors, you know, collapse two or three guys on Giannis, and then the Bucks get an open shooter, because the Bucks have a lot of guys that can shoot, and it doesn't need to be Middleton taking the shot. It could be Ilyasova. Could be Pat Connaughton, it could be Nikola Mirotic, could be Tony Snell, could be DJ Wilson, could be George Hill, Brook Lopez. It could be anybody taking the shot, especially if it's an open shot. You feel like the Bucks are probably going to hit it. So I feel like the old Raptors, coached by Dwayne Casey, definitely would have collapsed two or three guys on Giannis and just tried to shut him down like they've tried to shut down LeBron James every year. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Because Giannis is just going to kick out to the open shooter and you give up 3 points instead of two. And I think in previous iterations of this Raptors team, we didn't really have that lockdown defender that could guard LeBron James or a Giannis. We have that now in Kawhi. Kawhi would be able to guard LeBron. Kawhi, I think, is able to guard Giannis. I think that you play the one-on-one game. Is Giannis going to go for 30 some nights? Maybe. Maybe. But if you aren't giving up those deadly threes, and the rest of the Raptors team has shown to be good defensively, I think that's just the best course of action. The Bucks were the second best team in the league this season, within 5 feet of the basket, shooting 68.9% from there. A lot of that is Giannis. A lot of that. And if we're just looking just the restricted area, Bucks are up to 70.4% in the playoffs. From the mid-range this season, the Bucks were bottom third of the league. They all shot 38.6% from that zone. In the playoffs, it got even worse. The Bucks only shot 34.4% from the mid-range. And that's the shot the Raptors should want to give up towards the Bucks. Analytically, it's not a good shot, and the Bucks aren't good at making it. For the regular season, the Bucks, they weren't really a great corner three team. From the left corner, they shot 37.2%. From the right corner, they shot a bit better at 39.1%. It's like average. In the playoffs, they shot the 37.1% from the left corner. Right corner, only 29.4%. They're also like middle of the pack from above the break. In the regular season at 34.7%.
But in the playoffs, they are up to 36%.
Surprising the Bucks aren't a better three-point shooting than the numbers suggest. I think they just have a lot of guys that can shoot threes. But I guess with their success from the restricted area, they don't need to rely upon that. But the Raptors have had success guarding the restricted area, especially in these playoffs with Marc Gasol. So maybe things change a little bit. Maybe the Bucks forced to shoot some more. It'll be interesting to see if the Bucks dictate where the Raptors shoot from, because during the regular season, the Bucks were the best at guarding the restricted area, only allowing opponents to shoot 58%. Now you might think, oh, 58%, that's good. Not from the restricted area, it's not. So, you know, those Pascal Siakam lay-ins, they might not be super frequent. For the mid-range, that is where the Bucks kind of were willing to give up this season. That allowed opponents to shoot 41%. The Raptors don't have DeRozan anymore. That was his thing. Serge Ibaka, he's pretty good from the mid-range. I think Marc Gasol can also. Kawhi is great from the mid-range. Capitalized maybe a bit there, but it's not a shot you really like. The Bucks, though, this season were pretty gashed from the corners. And the Raptors are going to take and hit threes. The Bucks allowed opponents to shoot 41.4% from the left corner and 40.1% from the right corner. They were, I guess, middle of the pack from guarding above the break, giving up 35.1%. But the corners, and that's what I was talking about with having a faster flow of the offense, letting guys get to the corners. And Danny Green, that's where I think he can come through for us. I think Siakam is also going to need to hit some corner threes. Showed he could do it through the regular season. He's going to need to do it in this series, especially if the Bucks are locking down that restricted area. How is Siakam going to get his points? It's going to come from the corners, I believe. Ultimately, I'm hoping this series is going to be a much funner watch than the Philly series, which, oh, that game seven, the first half, it was horrible to watch. It was just ugly basketball, so many missed shots. I think there's no way it's going to look as ugly for Raptors-Bucks, but Bucks are a better team than Sixers. I think they have a much better coach in Bud than Philly had in Brett Brown, and I haven't been impressed with Nick Nurse. I think defensively, he's figured out how to deploy Marc Gasol well, how to really take away a lot of the things that Philly wanted to do, and I guess Orlando wanted to do. But as I mentioned, the Raptors are going to need some offense, and aside from Kawhi Leonard, who is going to be reliable for us? Is it going to be Kyle Lowry? I don't know. Going into the playoffs, I kind of felt the Bucks had a slight advantage. Assuming a healthy Brogdon, I would have said the Raptors would have a 45% chance of beating the Bucks because we're the road team. Now, I don't feel anywhere near that confident that it's close to equal odds, but a lot of that is just not seeing offense. And I don't have confidence in Nick Nurse to figure that out, but I don't know, maybe we have like a 33% chance of winning this series. I feel like we're going to take two games and the Bucks are going to win in six. I hope I'm wrong, but can we get OG back? I don't know how much offense he can bring us. Maybe he can be the guy that locks down Middleton. but I don't, who's going to be the offensive threats? How are we going to work this offense so it isn't all on Kawhi Leonard's back? And if Kawhi's not dropping 40, it's like, maybe we don't win. And that's just sad. It's like the crappy LeBron James teams he's had, where it's like LeBron has to do everything, and if he doesn't do everything, his team loses. And that's what I feel like Kawhi Leonard is dealing with now with these Raptors. And hey, you know, we'll have that Kawhi Leonard Game 7 shot that fell through and took us to these Eastern Conference Finals this year, but that probably pushed Kawhi's chances of staying up from zero, because I think if he doesn't hit that shot, I think we lose in overtime in that game. I just think that's how the momentum was going, and if we're going to sell Kawhi Leonard on winning, we have to win, and we have to continue to win, and I don't think getting to this point is enough to convince him to stay. And I don't even know if we get past the Bucks and get to the finals, if we really have a great case. I don't know. But it will be better, I think, than what it is right now, because I think right now Kawhi doesn't have help, and he needs help. We're going to sell him on returning, where he has to do all the work in the playoffs again. I don't think that's a good sales pitch. Maybe Kyle Lowry will play out of his mind, and that will be Kawhi's big help on offense. We shall see. I do think it was interesting how Kawhi was saying how this could have been his last game in the press conference. Took a pause, and he said, for the season. And I think he was hinting at that if we didn't beat Philly, yeah, he was for sure gone, and I wouldn't blame him. And regardless of what happens, I'm not going to blame Kawhi if he leaves. He didn't choose to be traded to the Raptors. He's worked his ass off in these playoffs for us, and you feel like, you know, he could have just taken the easy way out, and he didn't want to be here anymore. He didn't want to compete. He just wanted to go home. You know, he could have just given up in that Game 7. He could have given up in before that Game 7 and just really laid down and just gone home. But he wants to win, and he's competing, and I think he should do what's best for him this summer. And I definitely don't think the best thing for Kawhi is to sign a 5-year deal with the Raptors. I think that probably doesn't make sense. I think, you know, if he's going to stay, I think the thing that would make sense would be a 1-1, where he signs a 1-year deal with a player option for one more, because I think you don't know who's going to be in the roster in, like, the summer of 2020, when, like, the majority of our team is free agents. Like, Kyle Lowry will be a free agent, Serge Ibaka will be a free agent, Marc Gasol will be a free agent, because Marc Gasol is going to opt in this coming season. He's going to be on the roster. But yeah, like, I don't think if you're Kawhi, like, why would you, unless it's the, like, oh, I'll just take all the money, the $190 million or whatever it is for the 5 years, but he's not that kind of guy. So locking yourselves into the Raptors, not knowing what the future entails with this franchise, I think that's tough. And I think if he wanted to stay, if he was enjoying his time here, I think he did the 1+1, and that's what I would do if I'm him. But if he wants to go home, I won't blame him. He's been fantastic. I felt pretty confident he'd be great this season. I didn't think he'd be resting as much during the regular season, but, you know, if that's going to contribute, if that has contributed to him doing what he's doing in these playoffs, great. You know, I didn't really care during their season that he was resting anyways. We just know how little the regular season matters. And I don't even think, like, if he was, you know, playing in a, you know, I don't know, like 10 more games, we don't get the one seed still, but who knows. Yeah, I think that this Bucks series is going to be a fun watch if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Raptors fan. I wouldn't say get your hopes up, because I think the Bucks are the favorites for a reason. I know some analytical models give us the edge, but our offense isn't producing right now. And we are going to need another miracle, and it's going to be more than one big time shot. This has been 416 Basketball. Thanks for listening.